Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned. After the message, we'll see you then. Faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Let's read that together. It's on the screen. This is the New King James Version. Ready? Read. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Okay, for everybody who's not reading, here we go. We're going to go to verse 2 now. It's going to be on the screen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, let me help y'all. This is not a library. It's okay to talk out loud. It's okay to read out loud. Ready? Verse 2. Read. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3. Ready? Read. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. We're going to continue reading. Verse 4. Ready? Read. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Let's go to verse 6. Ready? Read. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. All things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish. It will vanish away. Verse 9. Ready, read. Verse 10. Verse 11. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12. My subtitle is Be Great. Faith, hope, and love. Be great. Choose the greatest of them. We're going to take a look at faith first and foremost. And then when we talk about faith, I'm not talking about your ability to recite scriptures. I'm not talking about your ability to quote scriptures. I'm not talking about your ability to stand on the word and repeat scriptures. I'm not talking about your faith. When we say faith, have faith, I'm talking about the faith of God. God's faith becomes your faith the moment you believe in God. So what we're talking about, the faith portion of faith, hope, and love, is have faith in God. Not in yourself, not in your abilities to dot I's and cross T's, not in your ability to do everything right. We're talking about your trust and reliance on Almighty God. Have faith in God. Having faith in God, please don't misunderstand this or miss this saying. Having faith in God is having the faith of God work on your behalf. That is a huge revelation. Because when you and I limit us to ourselves and our ability, it is always limited. But when we know and understand that we have faith in God, his faith begins to work on our behalf. That's a different story. How many of you can rely on Jesus? Raise your hand if you can rely on Jesus. You trust Jesus. You see, we don't fail in our belief in him. Where we fail at in belief in us and our abilities to keep it up, to keep doing it. Why? Because we know ourselves. We have history with ourselves. Every one of us have failed ourselves. Every one of us has experienced somebody else failing us. I'm not asking us today to have faith in ourselves. I'm saying have faith in God. You know why? God has never let you down. The promise is true. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. Have faith in God. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. Where are you guys going? Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. If you said yes to Jesus, you are now a representative of heaven. You now have creative power that goes into operation when you speak, just like Genesis 1, 3, 6, 9. God said, and creation took place. Because of who you are, because you're created in him, when you say, something is created in your life. That is so important to know and understand. You have creative power. Death and life, Proverbs 18:21, is in your mouth. Death and life comes out of you. You choose what you say or don't say. Faith will always be a part of your life as a believer. Faith is the currency of exchange between heaven and earth. You'll always rely on God's faith to receive anything. Every one of you who asked Jesus to come into your heart, you did that by faith. Every one of you who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you did it by faith. When you received healing supernaturally for your body, how did you receive it? How did you receive it? By faith. As a believer, you and I will always rely on the faith of God. Mark 11, 12 says, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry and seen from afar a fig tree having leaves. He went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, who said to it? The same power that Jesus utilized here is yours. Jesus said to it, you can say to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again, as his, and his disciples heard it. How does faith come? Faith, say this with me, faith comes by hearing. And his disciples heard it. Now let's drop down to verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree, which you cursed, withered away. What was Peter saying? Your Lord, Rabbi, teacher, your words got results. And family, I'm here to tell you today that your words will get results. When you begin to repeat the words of Jesus, the same power that abides in Jesus abides in you. Look at somebody and say, have faith in God. Have faith in God. That power is made available. The same faith, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead abides on the inside of you. What Luke demonstrated this morning was dying to self, dying to the old man, and being raised by the glory of the Father to walk in the newness of life. Newness of life has been made available for each and every one of us. Have faith in God. Faith, hope, and love. I'm not asking any of us to rely on self. I'm not asking any of us to have hope in our ability, our upbringing, our background, our degrees. I'm not asking any of us to trust us. What I'm asking us is to rely on, trust in, depend on completely God Almighty. Have faith in God, and you choose to anchor your hope in Him and nothing else. Anchor your hope in Almighty God and nothing else. So many people are relying on other things. So many people are relying on their jobs, their businesses, their background. So many people are relying on their friends, their loved ones. So many people are relying on everything else. And none of that is certain, is sure. None of that is trustworthy. When we rely on other things, we tend to forget about God. And when we forget about God, all hell breaks out in our lives. I can say hell in church, can I? Is that all right? Can I say hell? I'm not cussing. Hell's a destination. When we understand that our hope must be anchored in Almighty God and the Word of God, the truth of God, that's the only hope that's dependable. You know, I believe here that the Word of God is going forth. I believe the words of Jesus are going forth. And I believe disciples are hearing the word still. And power is still being made available to children of God, disciples of God. And what you hear is going to transform your life. What you hear from Jesus, the words of Jesus still have the ability to wither up things that shouldn't be in your life. You can speak and curse roots that need to dry up and wither away. You have the ability, according to Proverbs 18:21, to speak life and have life show up in a situation. In verse 22 of Mark 11, Jesus answered and said to them, what did he say? Have faith in God. Hear this. Jesus is answering you, and he is saying, have faith in God. I am 100% convinced that the answers that you need in your life come from this answer, from this statement from Jesus, have faith in God. And we learn having faith in God is having the faith of God. And because it's the faith of God, crooked places are made straight. roots that need to die and shrivel up and stop producing havoc in your life must obey. Verse 23 says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt where, does not doubt in his heart," I submit to you this morning that we could doubt in our head and preserve hope in our hearts. You don't have to allow doubt to creep from your head down into your heart. You control the access into your heart. It doesn't matter what goes on. You make the decision to starve doubts to death and feed on faith and allow faith in God to continue to arise in your life so you get results. Verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things that you ask when you pray." Isn't this what we're after? Isn't this what we want? We want the things that we pray for to come into existence, true or not true. Anybody else depending, relying on, trusting on God? We want what we ask him for to come to pass. "Therefore, if I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." By having faith in yourself. Only me and Wendy, me, Wendy, and Luke know that. By having faith in yourself, your bank account, your upbringing, your background, mom and them. Having faith in God. And God alone. Family, we don't get depressed when we have faith in God. We don't get lonely when we have faith in God. We don't get weary when we have faith in God. It's when we look at the bank account. It's when we listen to heed to our bodies. When fatigue rises up and say, "You're tired." When we heed to that. When we choose to give in to the flesh, is when the flesh takes authority in our lives. But when you and I choose to have faith in God and speak accordingly, and the testimony that Peter gave was, "Rabbi, look, Rabbi, the tree that you curse withered away." You know what that's called? A testimony. What you said happened. I'm reminded of an old man that came up for prayer in Mexico. I was with some friends of mine on a mission trip, and my Spanish is raggedy at best. The more I'm around it, the more I can understand. But this man came up, an elderly man came up, and I couldn't understand what he was coming up for, but his son came up alongside him and asked if I could pray with him. So I prayed with this elderly man, and he began to get excited, and a tear ran down his eye. And one of my friends that was there said he couldn't see in his left eye when he came up here. He can see. He said he can see. And it was so powerful to see. I didn't have some supernatural eye drops that I showed up in Mexico with. You know what I did? I prayed there just like I pray here. And every time I pray, I expect God results. Not because I'm a pastor. That's the biggest misunderstanding. The things of God are for the people of God, not for pastors. You realize sheep beget sheep? You understand that shepherds never beget shepherds? You know how sheep are born? By the sheep. Y'all should have got that. You know how sheep are born? By other sheep. Supernatural power should be demonstrated this week because of you. Supernatural power should eyes should be open because of you. Ears should be open because of you. The dead should be raised because of you. Supernatural manifestation of health should happen because you lay hands on the sick. That's God's order, family. That's the way. See, faith, hope, and love is the lifestyle of a believer. You know what believers do? Believe. Believe God, trust God, expect God to do things in your life. Faith in God will remove you as an obstacle. This is why this is so important. The reason why I am promoting having faith in God and not faith in self is because when we have faith in God, it removes us as obstacles. I'm not even dependent on Freddie. I'm dependent on God, and I can have faith in God, and God shows himself strong because he's God, and I'm not. You know, the moment we limit ourselves to ourselves, disappointment is inevitable. Because you woke up and you saw something, said something, felt something. That's contrary to the word of God. But God, the truth is, he's always the same. You know, your circumstance never changes God. You understand that? Your situation never changes God. God never freaks out and say, oh no, what are we going to do, guys? He never freaks out. Have you? I have. What you hear has the ability to move you beyond limitations. You understand we serve a almighty, powerful God that has no limits, and you and I choosing to have faith in him is choosing to have no limits. Somebody say amen to that. We can choose to have no limits by choosing to have faith in God. Faith in God is the faith of God. Mountain moving power is the result of you and I believing in God's ability working on our behalf. Believing in God is like believing like God. Please hear that. Believing in God is believing like God. Is God failing? When you and I believe like God, we release the kingdom of God here on earth. And the most powerful thing about the kingdom of God is nothing is missing. There is no lack in the kingdom of God. Things are not running out in the kingdom of God. Things are running over in the kingdom of God. And you have that ability. You have abundant life housed on the inside of you. Every time the thief decides to come, according to John 10:10, the thief comes for a reason. The thief doesn't come to give you a good time. The thief doesn't come to make you feel good. The thief doesn't come to benefit you. The thief comes for three different reasons. Somebody help me. What's the first one? Kill, steal, and destroy. That's his only agenda. Every motive of the thief is to take from you. As we continue reading John 10:10, we go and see the purpose of our maker. We go and see and know and understand that I am come. Isn't that what it says? That who? He came for the purpose of you having life more abundantly. His purpose hasn't failed, family. The purpose for Jesus coming has not failed. Abundant life has been distributed to you. Abundant life has been made available to you. You now are the benefactor of abundant life. And you release that life when you say what he says. You begin to think the way he thinks. You begin to do the things that Jesus did. And that's what John 14:12 is all about. The greater works belong to the children of God. The latter rain is better because of you. Signs, miracles, wonders, the power of God poured out on the earth is poured out through you. Your obedience carries with it God power. When you say yes to Jesus, when you say yes to being a vessel, you say yes to God manifesting on the earth. I know 100% that the people we ministered to yesterday experience abundant life. There was a waitress that experienced abundant life. There was a waiter that was blown away with God showing up on his behalf. The power of God has been invested in you. I'm asking you to unleash it in the earth on your loved ones. Have faith in God. Have hope in the Bible, the words of God. Anchor your life on the word. And you'll never, listen to this, bold declaration. Anchor your life on the word of God and you will never fail. Anybody interested in never failing power in their lives? Never fail. You root your life on the word of God. Don't let your emotions master your life. Too many people are putting their hope in many different things and leaving out God. When people forget God, truth is minimized, sin is glamorized, wealth is idolized, crime is sensationalized, and drugs are legalized. This type of atmosphere causes people to be demoralized and lose hope. You and I must anchor our lives in Bible hope, not wishful thinking. Bible hope is the type of hope that you can anchor yourself to. Knowing hope up close and personal allows substance and evidence to come into your life. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Where are you guys going? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Put your eyes on it. It'll be on the screen, but if you have a device or you have a paper Bible, open up to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Put your eyes on it. There's substance that's made available. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. The practical application from seeing the word of God comes by you making yourself available. Put your eyes on the word. Put your eyes on Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. You know, I had an instructor in Bible college that told me, don't write down anything I say. When I begin to talk, I don't want you to write down anything I say. I want you to listen and write down only what you hear the Holy Spirit say. And you know, the things that I heard the Holy Spirit saying through that professor, I don't know if it was a professor, that instructor in Bible college, has been a part of my life to this day. That was 1996. What the Holy Spirit says to you is added to you and it never goes away. What you need to write down is whatever the Holy Spirit says to you. The Holy Spirit is going to give you nuggets, insight, revelation. You're going to be reminded of something because the Holy Spirit is true. The Holy Spirit is real, tangible. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is, what's it say? Now faith is the substance. When you hear the word substance, does that sound like a vapor or something fleeting? Faith is the substance, something that's tangible. It goes on to say, of things, what's it say? Hoped for. And then it goes on to drive the point down even more and says, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance, tangible, real, and it produces evidence. Evidence turns a case. Evidence showing up in your life will make all the difference. Faith is the substance. If you have faith for it, it's because it exists. How many of you have faith for something that hasn't been brought into the now realm yet? Raise your hand. The fact that you have faith for it is because it exists. Let me encourage you this morning. I like the fact that we put our faith on something to have tangible evidence and something to attach our faith. One of the things that me and my wife and my kids now try to do is always have a faith project. Always have a faith project. What are you believing for? What are you trusting God for right now? And we'll say it, especially around the holidays. We'll get in each other's space and say, what are you trusting God for? What do you believe in? What are you standing on? What verse are you standing on? And we never give each other an out either. So they say, well, I'm believing for a new truck. What scripture are you believing? What scripture are you standing on? Where does it say God's going to give you? Always have a faith project. Now, in addition to believing God for something, rest your hope in the faithfulness of God. When you and I trust the faithfulness of God, faith comes every single time. He's not gonna let us down because he's faithful. How many of you can attest to that? Has God been faithful in your life? Faithful. For those of you who don't know, every time it rains and it doesn't flood, the earth's not wiped away, that's because of faithful God. Every time the sun comes up, that's because we serve a faithful God. Every time the waves come into the shore, it's because of the faithful God. Every time. Do you realize you have nothing to do with that? None of y'all realize you have nothing to do with that? He's faithful. And you can trust him to flow on your behalf. You can trust God. You can have faith in God that he's going to do. He's going to bring into existence those things he put on the inside of you. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Bible hope is future unseen assurance. This hope is brought into the seen realm by faith. Bible hope produces peace. This is one of the things that God wanted me to highlight this morning, is peace is available. There's somebody in here who's been struggling with lack of peace, and God wants you to know that peace has been made available. There's somebody who doesn't know, they don't know how they're gonna get through. You don't know how you're gonna make it. And God is saying that you're gonna make it because your reliance and your trust in him. The peace of God is absolutely available. Knowing and understanding that will make all the difference in your life. The peace of God. Listen to Romans chapter 5. This is the Amplified version. It says, therefore, since we are justified, the word justified means acquitted, declared righteous, and giving a right standing with God. That's the first lie we want to combat. You have been acquitted. You have been declared righteous by God. You have been given a right standing with God. Because you dot all the I's and cross every T? Because of your pedigree? Your bank account? Because of God. And God alone. It goes on to say, through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Verse 2 goes on to say, through him also we have our access, introduction by faith into this grace, state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. The glory of God is for the purpose of experiencing and enjoying. We are supposed to benefit from, interact with the glory of God. Bible hope gives us stability. Colossians 1:23 is a proof text of that statement. Stability comes by having hope in His word. If indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Let's put Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 on the screen. If indeed you continue in the faith, what are we talking about today? Faith, hope, and what else? If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the, what's it say? The hope of you, the hope of me, the hope of the gospel which you, how does faith come? Which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. Another scripture that talks about stability is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. It says, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for who? Who was He manifested for? Take your finger and go like this. Manifested for me. Manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in who? Faith and hope are in God. Bible hope is so important because it's like a rope you hang on to as your faith is rising, as you're hearing. Faith comes by hearing the word. Bible hope is based on God's promises given to us, not our feelings, wishes, or our circumstances. Bible hope is not based on our ideals, our thoughts, but on God's obligation. Please hear this. God's obligation to His word. You know why it's so important that we root our lives on the word of God? Because God is obligated to His word. God is obligated to His word. So when you and I root our lives on His word, God becomes obligated to us in the victory of our lives. You know, God wants you to win. God wants you to succeed. Say that to your neighbor. Say, God wants you to receive. Find a neighbor and say, God wants you to succeed. Bible hope is an anchor. An anchor serves two purposes. The main purpose for an anchor is to keep a ship from drifting away. The other purpose of an anchor is to add stability in stormy weather. How many of you have gone through stormy weather before? I could raise every limb. Our hope is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest. That's why teaching, preaching, and healing is so important. That's what Matthew 9, 35 through 38 talks about. It says, Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing most sicknesses. Healing the sicknesses that were most prevalent. What does the Bible say? Every sickness and every disease among the people. Family, don't disqualify or exclude yourself from the truth of the word of God. God's plan is total redemption. The blood of Jesus paid for healing the same time it paid for salvation. Let's read on. Verse 36 goes on to say, But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them because they were wearied and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. In the middle of the miracles, Jesus was heartbroken at the sight of the masses amount of people who were wearied and scattered. Why would that break Jesus' heart? Because it's not His plan. It's not His plan. God's design for the body of Christ is strength and unity. And listen to this. Every time you come and sit under the word of God, strength and unity begins to get poured into you. Every time you come and hear the word of God, you are being rooted and grounded in truth. You're being added to. Your anchor is being shored up every time you hear the word of God. You know, you're not wasting your time coming and hearing the word of God. Something's going on in your lives. Something's happening on your behalf because the word of God is going forth. You know, expect that. Expect healing to manifest in your body. Expect to be added to. Expect to be better when you leave, because that's what the word does. God's design for the body of Christ is strength and unity. The proof text to that is Galatians 6:9. In the midst of doing good, if we lose heart or hope, we'll become weary. And we'll become, you know what? Weariness always brings scattered. Weariness always promotes isolation. I don't feel like going. You know what, guys? I know it's gonna be a good time, but I'm gonna hang back. Weariness always promotes scattered. That comes next. So the Bible says, Galatians 6:9. This is what we need to. Let's not grow weary while doing good. Why? How? Look what it says after that. For in due season, we shall reap if we don't lose heart. The only thing that will limit us, will stop us from reaping, is losing heart. The only way the enemy can get you to lose is if you quit. All you have to do is outlast the enemy by making a decision. I don't care how I get there. I'm going forward. I'm just going to keep moving forward. I'm choosing right now. I am not giving up. The plan for my life is forward. Psalms 31:24 says, be of good courage, and he shall be of good courage, and he shall strengthen you. I'm not asking you to rely on your own strength, your own ability. I'm not asking you to trust in yourself. He shall give you strength. He's going to strengthen your heart. All you who hope, there goes that word hope again. Everyone, here goes the promise. Everyone who has hope in the Lord will be strengthened. What a precious promise. If you're wondering how you can get stronger, change who you're hoping in. Make sure you grab hold of that scripture, Psalms 31. This is a promise to you. Be of good courage. And last but not least, love. It's not human love. It's not brotherly love. We're talking about agape. We're talking about God's love. The first thing we talked about was faith. Second thing we talked about was hope. We're going to wrap up with love. Again, not how you love a relative, a loved one. We're talking about God's love. God's love is so good, it always leads to action. John 3:16 says what? Okay, if this was the class, y'all be failing right now. Okay, here we go. Do we need to put John 3:16 on the screen? Okay, here we go. You got some help. Ready? Read. For God so loved that he did what? He gave. Love rose up in God to such a degree that generosity was the response. The true demonstration of agape is generosity. For God so loved the world, God loved you so much, generosity flowed out of him at the highest level possible. He gave you his son. his only beloved son. How do we do this? You guys have your notes? Do we have any notes left? No. My printer died in my defense. The notes are on the, notes are on the app. How many of you guys, use the church app? Raise your hand if you use the church app. There, the notes, does anybody, this is a better question, does anybody not have notes? Raise your hand if you do not have notes. Just Sylvia? You have notes? You're good. That's because you're sitting next to a good brother. He's got you. So if you don't have the app, if you look on the back of your, back of the chair in front of you, there's a little picture. You can take a picture of that, and that will download the church app. So going forward, if my printer fails me, you can have the app, and the notes are on the app. How many of you knew that? How many knew what those stickers were for? How do we walk in faith, hope, and love? Number one says what? Trust God. Proof text is Hebrews 6:18. Number two says what? Abide in Jesus. You just be the branch. You let him produce fruit. You just decide, you make the decision, I'm just going to be a branch. I'm going to stay connected. The word abide means to dwell. It means to hang out. It means to make your abode there. Just hang out with Jesus. How do you hang out with Jesus? How do you hang out with friends? How do you hang out with loved ones? You spend time. Every friend you have, your best friend became your best friend because of what? Spending time, period. Spend time with Jesus. Number three says what? I'm going to give y'all another chance. Okay. Okay, ready? One, two, three. There's power in your words. What am I talking about? Use the words. When something comes against you, you say, no, you don't. In the name of Jesus, begin to use the power that's been made available. Number four says what? Keep planting seeds. The word of God is the incorruptible seed. You make a decision to plant incorruptible seeds in your life. Plant the word of God. Use the word of God to interact with people on a daily basis. The incorruptible seed is just that. It's incorruptible. The word of God is always going to come to pass because God protects it. It will not return void. Don't try to build a life on your ability. Allow the word of God to go before you. Every word that you plant in your life that's based on the word of God always produces a harvest. Number five says what? Take authority. Take authority. You bind the influence of the God of this world who tries to blind people around you with spiritual insight. You choose to take your authority. You're the greater one. The greater one abides on the inside of you. If you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to being great. The greater one abides in you. Proof text of that is 2 Corinthians 4:4. Number six says what? Make God the priority. That's simple. Make God your priority. Start your day with God. Start with him. Here's the most powerful thing about what God adds to you will outlive you. When you and I know and understand that we seek him first, he will add things to us. What's added to us? The promise is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. A powerful insight is the things that God adds to you will outlive you. What God adds to you is not going to be taken from you. Number seven says what? We're going to do that now. We're going to praise God and thank him for the answer. First, before we do that, put it in your mind. Allow your imagination to participate with the promises of God. What are you believing for? What are you trusting God for right now?
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transformed. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.